Following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's True Wealth, presented by Little John Financial Services. Here is David Littlejohn with True Wealth on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang. Welcome back. The best Tuesday you've had all week.
How many times can we keep saying it's the best Tuesday we...
I know. As he says it, what?
And yeah.
It's because we've been on this little run and we're watching After Hours as Google and Microsoft are getting crushed.
And why, David? Why?
Because no good deed goes unpunished, Matt.
Yeah,
that's
just
how it works.
They're out here trying their hardest, but they're just not making as much money, are they?
I think it's not about the money as much as the expectations right now.
Okay.
Well, maybe it is. It looks like YouTube for Google came up short of estimates, and so they're getting shellacked here. It was actually a great day in the markets.
It was.
NASDAQ was up over 2%. S&P up 1.6 and change, Dow up a little over 1%, Russell 2000 up over 2.7%, and oil back down below $85 a barrel. So it was largely better, but then we've seen a couple of the big tech stalwarts, kind of the
right.
You know, the anchors, and they're getting pounded on right now.
It's not a good sign when you see Google and Microsoft, think of their market capitalization, right? Like, how much of the S&P 500 do those two companies take up?
I don't know. Probably almost 4 or 5% of it by itself.
Yeah, and so, if they're
top
having...
Top 10 stocks are... I know it's like the top 20 stocks are like a third.
Sure, and so if those are two of the larger ones in there, it's like, well, if they have a really bad day...
Everyone, top 10... percent of
I thought that Google, Microsoft, Amazon, and Tesla, just those four, I think at one point made up almost like 15% of the entire S&P 500. Now, that's probably not relevant right now at this moment because
it might still be.
It's probably
pretty close.
Here's the
top 10.
Okay.
And coming from Investopedia, Apple 6.99%.
Okay.
Microsoft 5.63%. Amazon 3.32%. Tesla 1.96%. Google has two different share classes, A and C shares, totaling 1.93% and 1.71% each. Berkshire Hathaway at 1.59% and United Healthcare at 1.54%.
Yeah, so if you take those top four or five companies and add that number up, we've got to be what?
Mm-hmm.
Close to 15%.
Well, if we just looked at the top three, Microsoft at 7, just under 7, mm-hmm. right? Apple at 6.99.
So we'll call
Microsoft
it 7.
Microsoft at 5.63. So call that 7.
We're at 12.
12 at 12.62. And then add Amazon to it. We're at 15.94%.
Yeah.
Add Tesla in, and you're up to...
Is that
almost
20?
Another 50, just almost almost 17, so
yeah,
almost 18%. So 20% in the top six stocks or seven stocks. It's pretty outlandish.
Mm-hmm. And so when you see a headline article that Microsoft and Google are taking it on the chin.
Mm-hmm. Amazing how much things have declined, though. Facebook... Used to be like
it was
up
huge.
There with Amazon. It's now, been cut in half almost. It's
mm-hmm.
just, yeah. So there's been a weird year. You're seeing the oil companies returning to, Exxon's now number 10 on the list. Tesla's still up there. Still blows me away that, because what is it? Is it a tech company? Is it a car company? Is it a solar company? Is it this company? Is it that company? Who cares, right? It's a lot of people buying the stock, and so the value is high,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a popular company is the answer. So there you go. But anyway, this was not intended to be the show of other than, this wags the dog, right? If you've got Microsoft and Google, which are respectively number two and mm-hmm. numbers five and six. Because Google occupied five and six, right? You look at those two positions alone and you're going, well, those two stocks are going to be down about 5% or so tomorrow if the futures market mm-hmm. or the overnight trade holds.
I wonder if that brings some more added volatility to the VIX, right? Because we had a pretty strong rally over the last day or two, and did we finish on the S&P?
Bit about what drives the VIX, right? Mm-hmm. And remember, for our listeners,
fear. Yeah, it's
volatility
fear.
Index. Okay, that's what the VIX is. So it's the next 30 days out
mm-hmm.
of call options, I believe.
Okay.
Right, and so it's the price of options over the next 30 days. And
so as right.
if you have less predictability, you would expect the price of buying insurance to go up,
mm-hmm, because
right? risk is going up.
Right.
So if you have more predictability, you expect it to go down. So this is a look over the next 30 days. And the VIX has been gradually coming down,
mm-hmm.
I think, because we're pretty much going to get past the election and past the next Fed rate hike, both of which the outcomes of the election are not determined, just so we're aware. There's a pretty good inkling about what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, even... You know, even the media at this point is saying, well, we're projecting a swing in the House and in the Senate.
Right, right. And it's interesting because there's a very subtle acknowledgement right now that polling data underreports conservative point of view
mm-hmm.
because the conservative point of view has, to a certain extent, abandoned taking polls.
Right.
Right? Or they lie. That's another one. And that was evident back during just the Trump era. Because, well, I don't want anybody to accuse me of voting for something like yeah. that and cancel me. But I'll tell you one thing in a survey, and then I'll go do something else.
Mm-hmm.
So the reliability of polling has been called into question recently for those reasons. And candidly, I get it. I mean, I if there's one thing I can sort of delight in right now, it is that cancel culture and some of this silly woke culture is really getting a taste of its own medicine, if you will. Like
eating itself in a sense.
Yeah, and I've sort of talked about this in my own circles for a while, that it's unsustainable. You know, you can't have two competing ideas at the same time. This is a weird one about, like, you can't have gender fluidity and feminism. They compete with each other,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's the issue. It's like, well, you're gonna have to figure out what you stand for.
Yeah,
and right now you got a problem. And I'm not throwing rocks at people when I say this, right? I'm not trying to get people mad. I'm just saying you need some logical consistency in your approach to these things, or people at some point are going to throw in the towel.
Because mm-hmm.
it's just, you can't gaslight me with stuff and say, well, it's this thing, except when it's not this thing. You know, and well, when is it not this thing? When I feel like it. Well, that it's like, quit it with the whole Lucy and the football, Charlie Brown thing. Like, enough already. Just, yeah. you know, hold the football in place. Or no, I'm not going to try to kick it. That's just how it goes. So, but yeah, the bigger point is seeing the VIX come down suggests that, and I've said this on the program before, and I still stand by it. I don't think the election sways the market much.
Like, or as much as some people are saying that it will.
Yeah, it's just...
Sure, it might have an impact, but is it going to absolutely, completely change the scope of the market?
Largely, no.
Right.
And that my cynicism comes out that everybody's installed by money. Money has competing interests, and so it's not always the people's business. It's just about the, you know, talking like it's the people's business to get elected to then go about the interest of special business, or the business of special interest. So
mm-hmm.
We're just kind of there, and... you know, here's a novel thought. I continue to say, if we want a grassroots movement, I think there's a couple interesting things. If you want more moderate candidates, I think ranked choice voting is an interesting one, at least in the primaries.
Mm-hmm. Right? So you're not a huge fan of mail-in ballots.
So mail-in ballots is really not part of this
okay.
consideration. I mean, the mail-in ballot issue, I understand where people come from on mm-hmm. that one. They get... There's some frustration about, on the one hand, the evidence we have is largely that there's not cheating, but then there's another group that says, but we don't test it a specific way that would identify cheating. And then when you say, can we test it that way? And you go, no, no, no. Then people go, well, then what if it is cheating, right? It's just,
mm-hmm.
again, it's that whole thing of, Well, we don't have any evidence. Said, well, then why don't? So we shouldn't validate it anyway. I mean, that's the logic back and forth, and the fight continues, right? And I don't know. I mean, the reality is that both parties, I know why they would anchor in, right? If your team won, then you would want to say, however it worked, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And if your team lost, you'd say, I think you cheated. Here's my evidence. We should go test it. And then you're going to go, because I want my team to win. And I go, right. All right, well, nobody's without a conflict of interest here.
Yep.
I would like elections that are trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And when people say they are, and you go, well, would you be willing to test it this way? And they go, no. And I say, why not? I realize that it's a, you know, that creates a weird deal where it's like, well, where are you going to draw the line? You're just going to keep testing it until you find a flaw. And I go, that's fair that you could make that accusation. But at the same time, if you're so confident, why won't you test it?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And why would you want there to be any chance of a flaw in the first place?
Yeah.
Right.
So, but my point, ranked choice voting isn't about how you vote.
Mm-hmm.
It's about saying that at least in the primaries, when you are trying to select for in a two-party system, what happens is you when you're only trying to appeal to people voting like in the primaries, let's say you're here in Douglas County, you're in a Republican trying to run for office, then you have a fairly strong Republican base here. So everybody wants to be more aggressive as a conservative to conservatize, whatever you call it, the other candidates, right? Let me be more attractive than the other candidates running for office in the same category, other Republicans, right? So let me
almost
be the more conservative.
Almost trying to one up the other.
Well, what happens is you get more extreme positions, and then when you get into the general election, it's more polarizing. So ranked choice voting would be the idea of, well, then vote for your number one candidate, but also your number two and number three candidate and so forth. And then we're going to tally everything and we're going to see who gets the aggregate of the most votes. So you may not get your first choice, but you might get your second choice. And there might be enough number twos.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You sort of rank out higher. And what it does is it produces a more moderate candidate, right? Mm. And then you get more moderate candidates, which in theory are more likely to cooperate with each other.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
So that's an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you need ranked choice voting for at the end of the day, right? You know, you don't rank choice vote and end up with like a president and a vice president that hate each other or something like that. But I could see it in the primaries.
That could be interesting, though.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, maybe. But the real idea, and this one has like this would affect a lot of things. Really interesting, like blow the whole system up.
Oh boy!
I know.
How do
right?
we do that?
Well, I'll tell you after this evil profit break. So stick around, and we'll be right back. Where I don't know how we got talking about the election, but what the heck? We're talking about the election. It's True Wealth Show. This is Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 1240 and 93.9 FM and all that.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Matt Dixon.
And no, let's not burn it to the ground.
Okay.
That was me. Side note, I'll get back to the – and reminder, if you're just joining us, grab the podcast. It'll be at our website, littlejohnfs.com. It's also on all the favorite podcast places. You can look up The True Wealth Show and Little John. If you look that up, you'll find us. Okay. But anyway, at the break, I get the Yahoo push notification that Brittany Griner, if you remember this name, she's the WNBA gal that got – caught in Russia in possession of what would be considered by most a very trivial amount of I don't know if it was THC or C and CBD. It's a banned substance in Russia, and because she was a semi-public figure in the midst of Russia being pretty angry with the way the United States has backed Ukraine, at least this is my take on it. They threw not just the, but it was a, it's, it appears to be a farce of a trial. Again, that's my opinion. I'm just throwing that in there. But it looks like a farce of a trial, and they convicted her of possession and sentenced her to 9 years in a Russian prison.
Mm-hmm.
And they are transferring her to a Russian penal colony now, and expect it to be pretty miserable. Her appeal was not great. You know, she appealed. They denied it. And she's
basically a pawn in a political statement from Russia to the United States.
And, you know, and I will say I don't really care about – The thing about the United States is you get free speech and you get, you know, a lot of choice, okay? And so even if I would have chosen different things than her, I think we're at a point where Russia is just being straight up cruel, right? This isn't a political prisoner. This isn't anything. This is Russia just showing the character of a system that is corrupt, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's, again, I'm not suggesting the United States isn't corrupt in many respects. My trust level in a lot of traditional news sources is pretty low these days.
Mm, yeah.
I say that as we're on like a news source, right? The irony.
Are we the news though, or are we just...
You know, I'm going to do the best we can to be local and transparent and honest about what we can, right?
Yeah.
And part of it is you always just say what's in it. Like if you want to follow the money, right? What's in it for us? It's an advertisement for our business, where we do financial planning and investing for people.
541-375-0898.
Right, we said it.
Boom.
Right? There you go. There's our conflict of interest. Now filter as you need to. Okay, if you think we're full of nonsense, then I guess don't call. If you find yourself going, you know what? These guys, maybe there's something there. It's not just guys. We got gals on the team too, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe this group is somebody we need to learn more about. And I'd say, great, we'd love to meet you. And we'll see how we can help. Now, back to the election.
Okay.
Which, again, I don't think is going to have any bearing on the markets. So, and if it could, I just don't think it will, right? And so there you go. There's my disclosure, too. Because someday some regulator may listen to this and try to say, can you say that on the air? And I'm like, gosh, I did. So, like, uh-oh.
It's not investment advice.
Here's my crazy idea about how to clean up politics. I've actually said this before, which is I think that we should create an amount and determine what it is, a reasonable, and reasonable is I realize that's like how many angels can dance.
Are you
going to
say like amount that they can spend on their campaign?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm going to say an amount that can be donated to a campaign. And that part of what blew this whole thing up was the idea that Citizens United was a decision at the Supreme Court level that said, companies, in the name of being able to speak freely, free speech for companies can decide where to place their money as part of free speech, and therefore they can make political contributions.
Are you saying that these politicians owe these companies too many favors?
I'm not saying, I mean, you can read between the lines and say what you want.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, if you want to get out of the world of votes by dollars, then you come up with a number. Like, let's say we make
there's
it
a
like,
salary cap that you're proposing here?
I'm proposing
just like
the equivalent of a salary cap.
All right, you're speaking
bucks,
NFL terms. Now you're getting
$100 as a starting point per social security number.
Oh.
Okay? And what that does is, you know, you get and it can be tracked by social security number. It should be, right? And if you end up donating more than that, then you're in violation. I think the IRS has the mechanisms to track this. I think that if you try to give cash under the table to a political campaign and they can't account for where the money comes from and can't link it to its source, you have a problem. But see, companies don't have social security numbers, right? Companies have tax ID numbers. And so what it does is it says you need to have a social security number or some kind of equivalent voter identification number that says you can legally vote in our election cycle, and you're the one that's allowed to make contributions. And now we're not saying companies don't have free speech. We're just saying voters are the ones that can pay to get a message out
instead of the
special
companies.
Interest, right? And so we're saying we all have the same free speech now. We can all buy the same representation, if you will.
Right, because right now it's not in the people's hands. It's in the corporation's hands.
So if people at a grassroots level want to organize and all contribute to one campaign because they believe in somebody,
now
they can
do possible.
That.
Right.
But it's through crowdfunding. Like you're crowdsourcing your funding one person at a time with a cap, and you can index it for inflation and so forth. But I think that would, as best I can tell, that would scrub out the special interest, because special interest can't outspend me, mm-hmm. right? And it would be really interesting, because like there's been questions about, well, what do unions stand for? And go, unions may do a really good thing to help workers, but should unions be really big spenders in politics?
Oh yeah, that's one thing that actually really irks me.
Right?
Right.
It would solve that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the union would say, well, you're there for your workers. Workers have organized to be represented as labor. Great. But you don't need to go out there and have massive political sway
right.
in the system unless you can convince all of yeah. your people to donate.
Because
that way.
Not all of the people in that union are going to share the same political
Correct.
Beliefs. And right now, that's the issue.
So I think that this is a way to clean a lot of stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I realize we're on the True Wealth Show's in the, you know, off the reservation of investments today. I don't even know that I apologize for this.
No.
I just think as we're getting into that, it is a really interesting consideration here. Like, maybe we could look at it and like, I don't think this favors one team over the other, right?
It really doesn't.
I'm not trying to set it up so that my belief system gets more play than somebody else's.
Mm-hmm. Okay? You just want more power in the voice of the people than in corporations.
I want the governance to be for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so if it's a good idea, we need to represent the people again. That's what needs to happen. And I'm also not in favor of getting rid of the original Great Compromise. I think that just because you got a whole bunch of people in New York and LA, it doesn't mean that they know how to better govern Roseburg than we do. So
right.
I like the idea that, well, we can organize and govern ourselves locally here as best possible. And by the way, at the risk of, again, irritating some people here.
I'm okay with that today.
But that's what the definition of Republican was. It wasn't originally means like, well, you're conservative or something like that. It was, I believe in the republic structure, right? And the republic structure is local governance gets priority. And then as you expand out, you've got your local governance, and then you have some regional governance and then national governance. And, you know, national governance does best for things like the military,
mm-hmm.
okay? Local governance is better for, like, law enforcement and fire. I don't need Washington, D.C. regulating our fire department. It's ridiculous, right?
Yep.
What do they know about how to get things distributed? I say this a lot, too. It's like, what does Washington, D.C. know about forest fire management? Well, they know where the money goes, and that's how we work it,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think that Oregon knows how to manage forest fires, and we should be trusting our region to do what's in our best interest. We could certainly listen, but you know, taking the control away from the locale,
mm-hmm.
it's the equivalent of saying like, well, farmers don't know what's best for their own fields.
Mm-hmm.
You go, but that's their job, is to take care of it.
Yeah,
because they need it next year and the year after and the year after. So farmers going to be a steward of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, why would you take that control away? So anyway, that's a philosophical approach here. And how that affects the investment market, I don't know. I just know that if we're out there and I'm encouraging people to think about what team you align with, right? I don't think it's as simple as majority rule,
mm-hmm.
right? I think majority rules on some stuff, but I think that we have to protect the minority sometimes from the tyranny of the majority, because let's be honest, the majority, if whipped into a frenzy, can be really dumb.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you get emotional and, you know, get a big group together. That's how mobs get started.
And mobs' IQs are pretty low.
Yeah, mobs go to the lowest common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
That's the scary thing about a straight
majority. If you don't believe it, go on YouTube and look up what happened in L.A. once the Lakers. Yeah, did you see that video? Yeah, I'll show it to you at the break. But look it up. Like, L.A. Lakers mob, look it up. Flipping cars over, torching stuff, and it didn't start that way, right? Like, those people inherently...
It started with, hey, we're pretty excited about a win.
Right, and it turned into pandemonium and
chaos. It's not just a win, it's a let's destroy the place.
Yeah.
You go, that's counterproductive. So, anyway. Well, speaking of counterproductive, us not offering reasonable investment insight...
Do you have some investment insight that we're going to get to?
I feel like there's something that we can
There's
going to
be a little nugget.
There's always a nugget,
golden nugget.
In particular, let's take the mob mentality for a minute.
Okay. And talk about how it relates to investing.
Well, we're going to talk about the emotional context of investing.
Okay.
And some of the things that I just want to caution people about in the market that we're experiencing right now.
Okay.
But first, this critical profit break. Stick around. We will be right back. This is Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you're listening to The True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM at 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where me, your illustrious host, ha ha ha, Dave Littlejohn, is it with Stu? Just say your name, Matt.
I'm here. I'm alive. I'm like, kicking.
I'm laughing because over the break, Matt did in fact go and look up the video. And it's like, this is from the...
The 2010 finals.
Yeah, and I was like, well, that's a while ago. I could come up with all kinds of riots where people went doofus.
Yeah, you know? I mean...
And he's like, well, yeah, but that one, I'm like, oh.
That was the one. Like, cars were getting flipped. People were getting beat in the street. It's like, they won the championship. Be excited and, like, celebrate and joy, but... joy turned into violence.
That
mob
happens
IQ
all the
pretty
time.
Low.
That's happened at almost every NBA championship.
People getting beat in the street.
Yeah, it's because people just start doing dumb stuff. I watched in
I think you mentioned the Eagles, was it?
So
after they won the Super Bowl?
I didn't, but maybe that's I was telling you that I went to school in North Carolina, so I was a Tar Heel, and I can remember when Carolina beat Duke at home. And Duke was, you know, ranked ahead of him, and it was a big deal to win. And then everybody mobbed. Franklin Street is the main street. But it was – they made a bonfire, and people were, like, jumping over the fire, and the whole street was crowded. And then at one point, some people got all excited, and they flipped some cars on their roof. And it was
really?
And that's when the cops showed up and broke the whole thing up, and the students scattered like, you know, cockroaches with the flashlight turning on. It was just insane watching people do this level of stupidity.
You got a front row seat, huh?
I watched somebody throw a couch out of an 8-story building.
Oh.
And shatter on a basketball court down below. And I'm like, who thought it was a good idea to throw a couch off a balcony?
You're like, I think I'm done. This has gone a little too
far. And I'm like, this is an institution of higher learning. Let me explain to you exactly what mob mentality looks like. Right, because the IQ doesn't go up.
How does it relate to the invest? Well, you hinted at this before the break. Do we get mob mentalities in the investment land?
You definitely can get mob mentality. Usually, this is sort of the joke is that there's the smart money, there's fast money, smart money, and dumb money, right? And usually, the dumb money, is the retail money, right? This is when the average person decides that they're going to become an expert in the stock market and go start trading.
We saw a little bit of that, right? Like, we were printing money there, giving out a ton of COVID relief money, and a lot of it went to the markets,
in
right?
In 2021, you did not need any talent to make money in the markets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, you just didn't. And in fact—
Well, the IPOs were insane.
It wasn't about IPOs, just everything was going up, right? With the Fed printing money and suppressing interest rates, there was nowhere else for money to go. And so the retail market also, especially like coming out of 2020, that you had a bunch of people that were at home, couldn't work, so they started trading.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And there were some smart people that snuck in there and made boatloads of money.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And there were people, the folks that figured out the GameStop deal about, it was over a year ago now. But the folks that figured that out, that was really like remarkable market insight. And they, the folks that doubled down on that early and rode that thing up and then cashed out, there were folks that didn't just make millions. They made like double digit millions of dollars on that deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like life-changing money. you know, like change your family tree kind of money.
Yeah.
Well, that there was a lot of money that flew in there. And then you saw like Reddit groups explode. And then you actually got a whole different thing. Like, this is a thing. I'm going to say it on air. It sounds awful. But I'm going to say the whole thing that came out of this, especially this year, called loss porn. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you never heard of this, this is people on Reddit boards publishing their investment losses, and then just people commenting, and really it's really raunchy, but there's a whole bunch of people just mocking bad investment decisions.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty hilarious.
And some of it's almost encouragement, like good job, like way to lose that much.
Yeah, you know. And there's a bunch of jokes and social cues that have come out of it. I think I'm just too old and irrelevant to know these things anymore. But I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's come out of it. Well, that whole thing was an explosion of retail participation in the marketplace.
Yep.
And then the markets have followed suit and broken down. What I will tell you is that it is super rare that you can have the tools at a retail level to compete with institutional level trading.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They just have a different viewpoint and different access to the market than you do, which is why it's really, really hard to out-trade, and most traders fail at it. It's not impossible. There's some people out there that have done it, but it's super, super rare, okay? And I always remind people, if somebody's willing to sell you their method to make millions in the stock market, you are part of their method to make millions in the stock market,
mm-hmm.
right? Buy this from me so that I have your money and you don't, and then you can take information and good luck with it.
Yeah.
Why would they need to tell you if they can just print money in the market? They don't need your money. They could just go trade it and make a whole boatload. So why would they give you their method? Oh, you know, they're really altruistic. That doesn't make any sense, right? Yeah. It doesn't make any sense because the more people that participate, the more people that know about an exploit in the market, the less likely it is for that exploit to persist. Okay, listen to that again. The more people that know about an exploit in the market, the less likely that exploit will persist. Okay, it's not going to stick around because once it's figured out, it's not an exploit anymore.
And it's not worth anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it washes it out. So it doesn't make sense that anybody would give away their secret sauce. And you see this. Like, a lot of pros are like, oh, you can get my computer program that will tell you what to do. Oh, how does it make the decisions? I'm not telling you. It's a black box. You can't see it. Why not? Because it's a secret. I can sell you the secret and it'll work. But if I show you the secret, you'll try to duplicate it.
Yep.
There you go. I mean, this is pretty straightforward stuff. I don't know why people struggle with it. Anyway, so if the retail money is the money that's the least flighty or considered the least intelligent, why? Why is that the issue? What happens? And the answer is, your emotions get in the way.
It's true.
Which is exactly what we're talking about with mob mentality and so forth. Is you guys know, if you've listened to this program for any amount of time, you know that we have an investment committee, and this is professionals that get together and we meet every Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the show's post that. And today it was all about, hey, things are actually going well right now. Are we going to allow our positive emotions to change our approach to what we're doing in the markets?
Yeah. And then even on a smaller scale, looking at each individual position and mm-hmm. saying, okay, well, one person might be more emotional on one position than another, and that's why you have everyone there to balance each other out.
Yep.
Because you might have a bias towards a company, right?
Oh, sometimes we call it out.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, this morning
we've all
you're
admitted,
like,
I have a bias toward Costco.
Yep. You know what? I applaud you because every meeting you say it. Hey, I love Costco. I'm going to just throw it out there. It's hard for me to see this thing clearly.
Like, I don't think I'm objective. I just really like Costco.
I love that $1.50 hot dog and the fact that it's inflation proof.
Yeah, that's it. And by the way, me saying that, that's not a recommendation either. Just because I like it doesn't mean you should. It's just, I'm just, you know, disclosing. I'm emotionally compromised. I like to go to Costco and go treasure hunting.
Are you there for the quantity necessarily
no.
when you shop? Or are you just
no,
there
just
because...
they just get eclectic stuff, and I'm like, how did I not know that I needed that?
Like, six LED flashlights that are all rechargeable in my pickup truck, I want it.
Yes. Yes. And if they will Bluetooth to my phone so I can turn them all on at once, how come that doesn't exist already, right?
So, it's true.
Yeah, yeah, it's that kind of silliness.
So you're not necessarily there for the paper towels and everything that are...
Well, that happens too, okay, but the serendipity is divine, right? Mm. I mean, like, oh, that's a thing that I should have. You don't need that at all. You have three of those, but I don't know where it is right now.
My trick for Costco is I don't go in with a cart, because if I do... I will fill it up. And so as I'm walking through, if I really want something bad enough, I have to turn around, go back to the front, and get the cart. So it gives me a little bit more time to think about, do I really...
Are you kidding? Now you're getting your steps in too. It's brilliant.
I know.
So it's exercise and shopping.
Mm-hmm.
See, I told you, Costco is fantastic.
It's true.
There's a funny story about Costco where, like, they had a bunch of execs in doing an inspection, and I know some of the people that work there, and they're like, well, all the big wigs are here, and for whatever reason they were going through, and you know, somebody another person that was there recognized me and said hi, and then the Costco guys were there, and I had to tell them, it's like, this is unsolicited, but I'm a shareholder, and I'm pretty much, this is my favorite store. In fact, the other night at dinner, my family and I, we were making a joke, if you had to, like, shelter up in one store. Well, and my daughter was like, I think Costco, they have everything. And we're like, that is a really good call, especially if it's bed
season.
Yeah,
because you could
get a mattress too.
And you could entertain yourself for an infinite amount of time.
Oh, I mean, like, you could pull this off, you know? It's like, huh. And I could learn to drive a forklift. So, like, it's just a win-win-win.
There you go.
Anyway, my gosh. Let's...
When David retires... I want everyone to remember this show, because I'm calling it now. You're going to be one of the people that works there, is like giving out samples. And you'd love it too, because you'd get to talk to everyone. And if there's one thing I know about David, he loves the chat.
He's an extrovert.
Yes.
That's true. All right, let's do this. Why don't we grab our last break before I send my application to Costco?
All right.
Stick around. We'll be right back. This is Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you're listening to True Alt on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the home stretch of the True Wealth Show, where you really should be catching up where we've learned today. What did we learn, Matt?
We learned what you're going to do in retirement. We learned...
we learned Dave likes Costco, that mobs are stupid,
and
that I believe that we should get the money out of finance by having people... By capping the amount of donations to political campaigns on a social security number basis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to have a social security number in order to donate, and you cap it at a certain amount, and everybody gets the same cap. So there you go. There's the summary for the show. You can skip the podcast. We saved you a bunch of time. You're welcome.
Okay.
If you did want to maybe hear the exposition, podcast is available at littlejohnfs.com, where we also disclose that we have a conflict of interest, and that if you follow the money, this is actually a commercial for our business.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get to us at 541-375-0898. But who's asking?
Mm. We even have an email address.
We do?
info@littlejohnfs.com.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that.
Can you even text that?
You can even text the phone number.
Text us real quick. We would love to hear from you.
Send texts to the main number, 541-375-0898, because the back office loves text messages.
Do it.
It's like their favorite. So do that. We're not going to do it for this show because we're running out of time, but I feel like it's time, Matt. Time to, like, open the phone lines, because Kyle Bailey taunted us during the break.
He did.
He came by and poked his head in and said, I was thinking about Costco when Matt said you could be one of those
servers,
sample guys.
Yeah.
He's like, he said, you just put up put up a stand that says, you know, sample financial advice. That, and I roared.
I can just see you with the hairnet too. Like giving financial advice with a hairnet.
It seems so legitimate. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't trust me in a hairnet?
I would actually love to go do that. Like, if you gave me the opportunity, I would stand in Costco.
Stand in Costco and give out financial advice?
Uh-huh, I would.
The thing is it just like, you know, somebody walks up and goes, all right, advise me.
Quit spending so much money.
Exactly. Take two items out of your cart right now.
Don't come in here with a cart in the first place.
At which point Costco says,
you're
you cannot
fired.
Come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not good for sales. Like, oh.
What would you sell, David, if you had the podium and you could sell financial advice? Not that you're not doing it right now, but if you could just give someone like one little gold nugget, because we promised our listeners some type of gold nugget, what would you give them? What would you say?
So, you know, you can't make recommendations on air.
No.
But I can tell you that there's a few things that I think people really ought to understand. You know, one of them is that
Don't make emotional decisions.
Well, yeah, avoid emotional decisions in general.
Mm-hmm.
Establish your rules of engagement before you start, not after.
Yeah.
Right? So, yep. So know your disciplines before you get going.
Don't get greedy. I'm going to throw that one out there.
Yeah, that's more of a trader's mentality.
Yeah.
It's like, it's okay to take a win. You know,
yeah.
If you're trying to get to the very perfect top and the very perfect bottom, you're going to drive yourself nuts and you're going to be wrong a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes just the meat of the trend is what you need.
Yep.
The other thing is you don't have to make all or nothing decisions, right? It's
okay
trim a position or to add to it, right? If you really believe in something, you can get more of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you are concerned that something is overpriced, you can sell part of it, right? This idea that it's an all or nothing decision, I think, is a real problem for people.
Right.
The other is, I think mutual funds by and large are still pretty effective. That doesn't mean you don't need to do your research and that there's not bad ones out there, but they get sort of a bad rap. And even though we don't use a lot of mutual funds in our firm, I'll just say it, right? But they get a bad rap when people are like, oh, look at the expense ratios of this, that, and the other. You should just go buy an index fund and go cheap, 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 cheap. And they go, index funds are great at what they're great at doing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not great at doing everything. Okay,
true.
So there, and I think that the Roth IRA doesn't get enough good press.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Right. I just think the Roth IRA is this really, really flexible tool. If I could convince more young people early on in life to take a look at that, a hard look, I think that they're. Again, you can't give advice on a generic basis here, but I'm just saying go look into this, because what typically happens is you're at one of the lowest tax brackets you're going to be early in life.
I think we can also say, I don't think this is giving financial advice, but going off of what you just said, if you're young and you have money available to invest, look at where the market's at right now.
Yeah, get started is...
You can't keep waiting forever,
yeah,
right?
Because here's the trick. You just have to make some assumptions about that we're not at the end of the world,
mm-hmm.
okay? And if we are, well, then it doesn't matter, right?
Right.
So that's the thing, is that if you were to look at probabilities, again, since you can't give advice, but let's just talk practically. If the world ends, your money doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't end, it does matter. And by and large, unless the United States abandons capitalism, capital is very clever and has demonstrated throughout history that it has been undefeated at figuring out, even when there are problems, how to work its way around and go on to be profitable.
Yeah, we move on to higher highs eventually.
Right? So
if
capital
you have a long time
clever,
horizon.
And it comes down to a really simple thing. We all must eat.
Yep.
Right? That makes the economy go. We consume energy to exist, and therefore we have to get more energy. And that starts a chain reaction of all of the other cogs in the machine that go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we've added layers of sophistication and we, you know, pleasure and indulgence and other things along the way. I mean, like, you don't really need a cell phone, but we all say you must have one, because in this world, if you don't, you can't keep up and you can't access information and, you know, it's going to hurt you. And so, okay, whatever. The point is still, you have a cell phone because you have to eat if you go back far enough.
Yep.
Just chase it to the end of the rainbow. That's
your boss might not like it if they can never get a hold of you.
It's, well, you know, it's a byproduct of you have a job because you need to have money because you need to get food.
Right. Thanks.
So
not very many alarm clocks out there, but there's a lot of phones waking people up to get your butt to work.
It's
so that you can
so
make the
silly,
money. To
but
eat.
If you, that's why one of the things that's truly destructive is, you know, statistics that I heard lately, because this has been the show of like Dave kicks hornet's nests. You know, if I can make somebody mad, I think I'm doing it today. A statistic I heard from Mike Rowe recently said that we've got 7 million males between the ages of 25 and 54 that have left the workforce and are not searching for work right now.
Well, what are they doing?
I have no idea, but they're not working.
That's the golden question.
That is the golden question. And you look at that and go, if you create an environment where nobody has to go back to work, at some point they might not.
They're all trying to be YouTube influencers.
Well, and at that point you go, well, what does that mean economically? And the answer is it can be tough. Because if the government's going to prop up one group, then how many more people decide to quit? And then asking the people that are working to pay more to prop up the more people that keep quitting. That's the scarier scenario, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea of, well, we've kind of abandoned capitalism and we're just going to life support everybody.
Yeah. How can we afford to keep losing employees and the workforce? At what point does it break the camel's back?
Well, that's what the Fed is doing right now, isn't it?
Yeah,
let's
they're
keep
trying
raising
to.
Rates until we crush inflation and we kill the job market and drive prices back down. And at some point, people will run out of savings. And if there's not a safety net that can prop them up, then we'll see how the economy changes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's the music. We're out of time, so I guess we better run. But one last time, Matt, how do they reach us?
Give us a phone call at 541-375-0898.
All right. You can also email us at info@littlejohnfs.com. Or like I said, you could text us at that number. But we got to run. So until next time, this has been Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
You've been listening to True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 and 1240 KQEN.
The preceding program was paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.